seen the first two of the four Chatushlokis. In the second Chatushloki we saw the Lord was explaining the functioning of Yogamaya and Mahamaya. Of course, in that one particular point I forgot to mention. We touched upon it, but just wanted to elaborate that we saw the functioning of Mahamaya and how by Vidya potency we saw Artham Pratiyeta. One realizes the real soul. The real soul is realized. But one should not think that this Vidya potency is sufficient to realize the Supreme Lord. It is mentioned, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na shochati na kangshati samas sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labate param. This Brahma Bhuta stage is called is the stage of Vidya. When one has realized the self through the Vidya potency, then he reaches the Brahma Bhuta stage. Then it is mentioned that at that point he gets an opportunity to practice bhakti. Mad param bhaktim labate. Labate means he receives. He may choose to accept, he may choose not to accept. But if he chooses to accept, then see, when we say Vidya, it means all kinds of mixed devotional service is under the realm of Vidya. But when we say Bhakti, we mean Param Bhakti, pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is not under Vidya. But any kind of mixed devotional service is under the realm of Vidya only. Then it is mentioned that Mad Bhaktim Labate Param. Then the next verse he says, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati. Only by that devotional service can one understand Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati Yavan Yaschasmi Tatvatah Tato Mam Tatvato Gyatva Vishate Tadanantaram. And only after understanding the Supreme Lord can one go to his abode. Even realizing the Paramatma feature is only within the Vidya Vidya potency. It's not transcendental. It's not of the Supreme Lord is due to non-activation of bhakti. Whether Vidya covers, Vidya doesn't cover, but the remembrance of the Supreme Lord is not activated because of non-activation of devotional service, pure devotional service. Vidya potency does not cover the Supreme Lord. It just helps one realize the self as being different from the body. But it does not cover the... Yeah, that's my understanding. So, then he says, by mixed bhakti, one can get Brahman and super soul realization. Just like a person with a weak eyesight can see the general form of the deity, but not the details. You know, anyone is wearing specs which is more than 3 or 4 number. How much? may see that someone is standing there, but the details may not be clearly visible. And once you wear the specs, you know, you can clearly see. So that's what he's explaining, that using Vidya to understand the Supreme Lord is like a person having a weak eyesight trying to understand the Bhagavan feature. Even if he tries, it is mentioned that at the most he can understand the Brahman and Super Soul feature, but not Bhagavan feature. Okay. So just like a person with a weak eyesight can see the general form of the deity but not the details, similarly Bhagavan realization, for Bhagavan realization, even this Vidya arising out of mode of goodness should be given up and Ananya Bhakti should be taken up. Only through Ananya Bhakti can the Bhagavan feature of the Lord be realized. This is the explanation. Yes, Prabhu. Which was for a very material purpose of begetting a son. So the Lord appeared. Many people saw the Lord. Even in during Krishna's appearance, what to speak of Maitreya, Duryodhan and so many others saw the Lord. But then, that is not so much glorified. Okay. What effect does seeing, having that darshan of the Supreme Lord, what effect does it produce? Like it is mentioned that even during the which sacrifice did Yudhishthir Maharaj perform? Rajasuya Yajna. All these demigods came. They took darshan and they said, they saw Krishna and they said, this is Brahmaji has attained perfection of his creative skills. Such a amazing personality, this Lord Krishna. And then the next moment they were like, okay, where is my share? Where is my share of oblations? And they got distracted. So even though they saw the Lord, but then because it was, they were not seeing with Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. So therefore it did not have that kind of effect. When we talk about realizing the Bhagavan feature, it means possessing prema. That's what it means. This is yes, Maitreya was a mixed devotee at some point, did he remain a mixed devotee? That's a question mark. That is one understanding. Again, I am just speculating here, because we cannot say that he was not a pure, he was actually a pure devotee at all times, because Prabhupada clearly says he was a mixed devotee. Another understanding is that maybe Maitreya merely repeated the words of Krishna, and Vidura, being a pure devotee, understood the essence much more than what Maitreya understood. I do not know. That's, you understand what I am mentioning? Yes, Prabhuji. Whatever Sukriti was needed for his transformation into a pure devotee, probably he received it. That's how Prachina Barhi, when he got sustained association from Narada Muni, from being a person at the level of Karmanishta, after he heard, he immediately took up to devotional service. So, you know, there are many, many such cases of people making rapid progress from one level to another level because of a very powerful association. So whether Maitreya, when he spoke this to Vidura, was he still a mixed devotee? If yes, probably. Most likely not. But even if it was, then my understanding would be he probably repeated the words of Krishna, and Vidura, being a pure devotee, understood it the right way. This is my understanding. Sutta Goswami, yeah, they became pure devotees. And Gajendra similarly is mentioned as an artha. Does not mean still Gajendra is an artha devotee. He has graduated to a pure devotee because of the association of Supreme Lord. Like that. So therefore, when scriptures also talk about a particular person, you know, as being in a particular, as having a particular qualification, what it means that at that point of time, when this, when that particular pastime was being described, at that time he was, that was his nishta. But definitely, you know, subsequently there is a very good chance that all of them would have got transformed also. Okay, so now let's move on to the third chatushloki. And the third chatushloki is the Supreme Lord's answer to which question? How the Lord interacts with Yogamaya and Mahamaya. Yes. Oh, this is Vishnu Chakradhakur mentions in his purport. He doesn't say specs, but that was, I mean, I asked it because those who have specs, they have weak eyesight. That's for that reason. What the Lord has to say about his interactions with the Yogamaya and Mahamaya. He says, Yata mahanti bhutani bhute shuchavacheshvanu pravishtanya pravishtani tata teshunateshvaham. So he says, Yata means just as, mahanti bhutani. Mahanti Bhutani means the elements of this material world. Anupravishtani, they enter into all kinds of living entities. Bhuteshu Uccha Avacheshu. So Uccha, demigods, Avacheshu, animals. Okay. So the living, you have earth, water, fire, air, ether, all these elements in a demigod body also, in a hog's body also. Okay. But the elements do not think that how I wish that I get, if I get an opportunity to be a part of Indra's body, and I pray that the Lord does not make me a part of a hog's body. They do not think like that, because they are inanimate, so they are completely detached. So the Lord says, "Tata teshu na teshvaham." In the same way, when I also engage in, or when I also relate to things of this world, or with this material universe, which is a product of Mahamaya, I am detached, just like the elements. So Mahanti Bhutani. But when it comes to the spiritual world, the elements in the spiritual world are not Achetana Vastu. They are all Chit Vastu. A stone, when Krishna has to step on a particular stone, during summer it will become cool. It reciprocates with Krishna's in a way that it gives pleasure to Krishna. Very much, they are the elements of the spiritual world are attached to Krishna. Mahanti Bhutani, when it comes to spiritual world. Tata Teshu, in the same way, Krishna is also attached to the spiritual world. That's what he is explaining. How does the Lord reciprocate with the creation of Mahamaya and Yogamaya? He takes the example of elements. Look at the elements in this material world and look at the elements in the spiritual world. What is their nature? That very same is my nature towards these two realms. In the material world, the elements are Achetana Vastu. They have no preference, no preference means detached, isn't it? Kuch farak nahi padta, means detached. For the Lord also, same thing. Mahanti Bhutani. But when it comes to the spiritual world, just as the elements of the spiritual world are Chit Vastu, which are very much, each element is attached to Krishna, the same way he is attached to every single element of the spiritual world also. That's the explanation that is given for this verse. Yata mahanti bhutani bhuteshu uccha avacheshu anupravishtani apravishtani. Apravishtani means also remain separate. Remain separate in the sense there is no personal attachment. It's just like when you enter a house, when we enter our own house, we enter and we are attached also. When we enter some public washroom, we enter, but there is no attachment. Pravishtani, apravishtani. It's as good as not entering, which means you go do your business and come out. That's all. There is no attachment. But when one enters one's own house, there is pravishtani, and then one is attached also. You cannot say apravishtani. Like that. So that's how he explains the Lord's interaction with the material world, which is the realm of Mahamaya, and the spiritual world, which is the realm of Yogamaya. Here. Having described Mahamaya and Yogamaya, the Lord now describes how he performs pastimes with material and spiritual worlds which are subject to Mahamaya and Yogamaya. This verse answers this query. So then he explains, what is the meaning of entering and remaining separate? The elements enter into the jivas, but since they are not conscious, there is no attachment. It's not like the elements are crying when, you know, the soul is going to leave the body. They are completely detached because they are achetan vastu. So just like the elements, the Lord remains detached while entering, regulating and protecting all beings. His pastimes are without attachment in relation to the elements and jivas of this material world. But the same Lord performs pastimes with great attachment for his pure devotees. He desires to please all their senses by either showing his form or letting them touch his body, etc. Like that. So that's the way he interacts with this material world and the spiritual world. As Krishna mentions, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarva bhutani nachaham tesho avastitah. And then he says, nachamatstani mutani pashyame yogamaishwaram. See this mystic opulence of mine. Mystic means one cannot understand. But then he explains, he gives an explanation also. Yatakashastito nityam vayur sarvatrago mahan tada sarvani bhutani matstani tyupadare. He says that, you see, the sky has complete control over the air. It limits the air. But still, the air moves in all directions within the sky. Because the sky is achetan vastu. So it does not. In the same way, even though I have full control over the living entities, in one sense, I allow them to, I give them some free will, which is very rare. If someone has complete control over someone or some object, they tend to exercise that control. That's the nature of human beings or any living entity for that matter. But the Lord says, I have absolute control, but still I do not exercise. That is the Yoga Maishwaram. But one may say, Are you just explained it using an analogy. How is it any more mystical? You have demystified the whole thing by giving an analogy to explain it. He says, it is still mystic because both air and sky are inanimate. But I am very much conscious. So show me another conscious being who has absolute control but still chooses not to exercise it. It's not possible. Therefore, it is Yogam Aishwaram. Like that it is explained. So same thing he says, that with respect to this material world, I am totally detached. Even though I create it, maintain it and destroy it, but still I am detached from it. So Prabhupada here explains in the purport, the Lord entering into each and every atom of this universe is described in Brahma Samhita. Which verse? Ekopyasau rajayitum jagadanda koti yet koti swashesha vasudadi vibhuti vinnam. Yet chakti rasti jagadanda chayayadantaha andanta rasta paramanu chayantarastam govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. The Mayavadis realize this all-pervading aspect of the Lord. This all-pervading aspect is accepted by the Mayavadis, and they declare that there is no possibility of his personal form and abode. They say that if you say someone is all-pervading, does it make sense that he stays in his abode? How can someone be simultaneously localized and all-pervading? It has to be just one. Okay. Whereas localization seems like a defect, but all pervasion seems like a opulence. So the absolute truth must be all pervading and not localized. This is their conclusion. But Prabhupada says that the scriptures also say Goloka eva nivasati. He stays in his abode also. He says these Mayavadis cannot understand, because to understand such subject matters, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanayana, one needs the eyes of devotion. Only then it's possible to understand these subject matters. So Prabhupada says that this is the most confidential part of the Vedas, Sarahasyam. But this can be attained only by the practice of sadhana bhakti, tad angam, like that Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Can someone switch on this light? Of the spiritual abode, name, form, qualities, etc., of the Supreme Lord are televised in the heart of the devotee, though all these are far, far away from the material cosmos. Which means, when one reaches the stage of prema, then one realizes the not only the Supreme Lord, but his pastimes and his abode also. This is the mystery of the knowledge of the Supreme Lord. But this bhakti at the stage of bhava and prema is rarely awarded by the Lord. Muktim dadati karhichit smana bhakti yogam. It is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Such a devotee is also satya sankalpa, as he only desires to please the Lord. Thus, bhakti is a touchstone which is very rare. Muktanam api siddhanam Narayana Parayana. What is it? Sudurlaba Prashantatma Kotishvapi Mahamune. Prabhupada is quoting that verse. So basically, Prabhupada is mentioning that to understand this, that the Lord can simultaneously be all pervading at the same time, localized in his abode, can be understood only by pure devotion. That's what he is mentioning. And then he mentions that that pure devotional service is very rare. So that's how the Lord's interaction with the realm of Yogamaya and Mahamaya is described. That he is very much attached to the spiritual realm, just like the elements of the spiritual realm. And he is very much detached from this material world, just like the elements of the material world. Like that. Now, finally, coming to the fourth question, Brahmaji asked, "My dear Lord, what should I do to overcome the influence of modes of passion and ignorance while I am creating this material universe?" So, in response to that, the Lord speaks this verse, "Etavadeva jikyasyam tatva jikyasunatmanah anvayavyatirekabhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada." He says, tatva jigyasuna atmanah. That person who desires to know the best sadhana, అండ్ ద గోల్ ఆఫ్ దట్ సాధన ఏతావత్ ఏవ తత్వ జిజ్ఞాసున ఆత్మన. జిజ్ఞాసు మీన్స్ ఇన్క్విసిటివ్ పర్సన్. దట్ పర్సన్ హూ ఇస్ ఇన్క్విసిటివ్ టు నో ది బెస్ట్ సాధన అండ్ ద గోల్ ఆఫ్ దట్ సాధన, వాట్ ఈ షుడ్ డూ? జిజ్ఞాస్యం. జిజ్ఞాస్యం మీన్స్ హీ షుడ్ సరెండర్ టు అ గురు అండ్ ఇన్క్వైర్ ఫ్రమ్ హిమ్. యాజ్ ఆదౌ గురు పదాశ్రయ, టేక్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ అ గురు అండ్ దెన్ డూ సద్ధర్మ ప్రచ, ఇన్క్వైర్ అబౌట్ ది రియల్ డ్యూటీస్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్. సో హీ షుడ్ సరెండర్ టు అ గురు అండ్ మస్ట్ లర్న్ ఫ్రమ్ హిమ్ వాట్ హీ మస్ట్ లర్న్ అండ్ ద గురు విల్ టీచ్ హిమ్ దిస్ ఏతావదేవ అబౌట్ దిస్ సబ్జెక్ట్ మ్యాటర్. ఓకే, దిస్ ది పాత్. అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ దిస్ ప్రాసెస్? హీ సేస్ అన్వయ వ్యతిరేకాభ్యాం. ఓకే, దిస్ ప్రాసెస్ క్యాన్ బి అండర్స్టూడ్ బై ది డైరెక్ట్ వే అండ్ ది ఇండైరెక్ట్ వే. డైరెక్ట్ వే ఇస్ వాట్? పర్ఫార్మెన్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ప్రాసెస్ ఆర్ పర్ఫార్మెన్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ సాధన విల్ గివ్ ది రిజల్ట్. వాట్ ఎవర్ రిజల్ట్ యూ డిజైర్ యూ విల్ గెట్ ఇట్. అండ్ వ్యతిరేక, వ్యతిరేక మీన్స్ ఇండైరెక్ట్. ఇండైరెక్ట్ మీన్స్ నాన్ పర్ఫార్మెన్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ప్రాసెస్ విల్ నెవర్ జనరేట్ ద డిజైర్డ్ రిజల్ట్. ఓకే, అండ్ యత్ స్యాత్ సర్వత్ర సర్వదా. యత్ స్యాత్ సర్వత్ర సర్వదా మీన్స్ దిస్ ప్రాసెస్ క్యాన్ బి పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ అట్ ఆల్ టైమ్స్ అండర్ ఆల్ సర్కమ్స్టాన్సెస్ బై ఎవ్రీ వన్. సో బేసికలీ ద లార్డ్ ఇస్ టెలింగ్, మై డియర్ బ్రహ్మ, ఫైండ్ అవుట్ విచ్ ప్రాసెస్ ఫిట్స్ దిస్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ అండ్ దట్స్ వాట్ యు ఆర్ ఎక్స్పెక్టెడ్ టు ఫాలో టు ఓవర్కమ్ ది ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్ ఆఫ్ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ ప్యాషన్ అండ్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్. సో వాట్ ఆర్ ది, హౌ డస్ హీ డిస్క్రైబ్? హీ సేస్ దిస్ క్యాన్ బి అండర్స్టూడ్ ఓన్లీ బై సరెండరింగ్ టు అ గురు. సెకండ్ ఇస్ బై పర్ఫార్మెన్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ప్రాసెస్ వన్ గెట్స్ ఆల్ రిజల్ట్స్ అండ్ బై నాన్ పర్ఫార్మెన్స్ వన్ డస్ నాట్ గెట్ ఎనీ రిజల్ట్ వాట్ ఎవర్ అదర్ థింగ్ దట్ హీ మే ఫాలో బట్ ఇఫ్ దిస్ ఎలిమెంట్ ఇస్ నాట్ దర్ హీ విల్ నాట్ గెట్ ద రిజల్ట్ అండ్ దెన్ దిస్ ప్రాసెస్ క్యాన్ బి పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ అట్ ఆల్ టైమ్స్ విచ్ మీన్స్ బేసికలీ దెర్ ఇస్ నో మెటీరియల్ డిస్క్వాలిఫికేషన్ ఫర్ పర్ఫార్మింగ్ దిస్ ప్రాసెస్ ఫైండ్ అవుట్ విచ్ ప్రాసెస్ ఫిట్స్ దిస్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ అండ్ ఫాలో దిస్ ప్రాసెస్ ఓకే సో బేసికలీ దిస్ అన్వయ వ్యతిరేకాభ్యాం మీన్స్ డైరెక్ట్ అండ్ ఇండైరెక్ట్ లెట్స్ సే ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ సమ్వన్ టేస్ ఈస్ ఫ్రమ్ సమ్ కంట్రీ వేర్ హీ హాస్ నెవర్ సీన్ షుగర్ లెట్స్ హైపోథెటికలీ అస్యూమ్ ఓకే అండ్ హీ ఈట్స్ స్వీట్ రైస్ ఓకే అండ్ హీ సేస్ దిస్ ఇస్ సో ఎక్స్టాటిక్ ఐ రియలీ వాంట్ టు నో వాట్ మేక్స్ దిస్ డిష్ taste so sweet, let me observe how it is made. So he is observing, so he sees the cook put, you know, milk, rice, kaju, kishmish, sugar, ghee, everything and make the sweet rice. Okay, so there are two ways in which he can find out whether what actually gives sweetness to it. First, he can directly taste the individual ingredients. Okay, when he tastes sugar, he would know, okay, sweetness is due to sugar. This is the direct way. Okay, anvaya. Second way is vyatireka. So first he will do, okay, now I understood that all these ingredients when put together give rise to this sweet rice. First let me try to make this without the milk. So without milk he makes something, whatever it may, whatever may come out, okay, and he tastes it, it still tastes sweet. So he concludes that sweetness of this is not due to milk. Then he does not add rice and he adds everything else and tastes it, still it tastes sweet. So he concludes that sweetness of this sweet rice is probably not due to rice. Okay, and then like that, finally when he does not add sugar and make the same thing, it looks closest to the original sweet rice but it tastes quite different. it's not sweet at all. So he concludes that, okay, therefore the sweetness of this sweet rice must be due to the addition of sugar. Okay, this is anvaya vyatireka. Anvaya means by performing it, you know, there is result. Vyatireka means non-performance of that process will not bear any results. Okay, let's see a few examples, it will become much more clearer. Let's see a few verses and let's try to find out from that. First verse is Vyaktva Swadharmam Charanambujam Harer Bhajan Apakvota Pate Tato Yadi Yatra Kvava Badram Abodamushyakim Kovarta Abdo Bhajatam Swadharmataha. Famous verse. So it says Vyaktva Swadharmam. If one gives up his swadharma, means varnashram duties. Charanam bhujam harer bhajan, and performs bhajan or performs bhakti to the Supreme Lord Hari. He says, yatra kvava badram abhut. There is no loss. No loss means he can attain the very same result that he would have attained by performing varnashram perfectly. So which means, let's say if one desires to achieve swarga by perfectly performing one's varnashram duties, if giving up that varnashram duties, if one performs only bhakti, holding on to the same desire that I want to go to swarga, it is possible just by merely performing bhakti. And then he says, and what can one gain if one performs his material activities? Material activities here refers to varnashram. What can one gain if one performs his material activities perfectly? Indicates he may perform his varnashram duties perfectly, but if that does not have the element of bhakti, he cannot gain anything. That's what it means. Okay? So if bhakti is there, even if varnashram is not at all performed, still the goal of varnashram can be attained by merely performing bhakti. That is the first half. Second half says, even if the varnashram duties are perfectly performed, if it does not have the element of bhakti, then one cannot still achieve the results. Okay? So now from this, what we can understand? From the first half, we can understand bhakti fulfills anvaya criteria, because in the first half bhakti was present, varnashram was not present, but still one got the result, which means presence of bhakti delivers the result, isn't it? So bhakti fulfills anvaya criteria. Second half, bhakti is not present, but varnashram is perfectly performed, but still there is no result, which means non-performance of bhakti is not delivering result. So bhakti fulfills vyatireka criteria also. But from the first half, non-presence of varnashram also has delivered the result of varnashram, isn't it? He gave up varnashram but performed bhakti, but he received the result of varnashram. So varnashram has failed vyatireka criteria, because non-performance of varnashram has also delivered result. Second case, he performs varnashram but bhakti element is not there, no result of varnashram, which means performance of varnashram is not delivering the result, which means he varnashram fails the anvaya criteria also. So varnashram fails both anvaya and vyatireka, but bhakti fulfills both anvaya and vyatireka, which means through anvaya and vyatireka only bhakti fulfills this criteria. Yes. How does he get varnashram's result? That's what you are asking. Because we saw, na, tapasvino dana para yashasvino manasvino mantra vidasu mangala kshemam navindanti. what he does not understand that true varnashram means it must have the element of bhakti. If he thinks varnashram means only performing prescribed duties, then that is improper understanding of varnashram. That's what it means. He may perfectly perform his prescribed duties, but if he does not perform the element of bhakti, the bhakti aspect of that varnashram, however perfectly he may execute his prescribed duties, he will not get the result of that. That's what it means. Sarvakamova, Mokshakama, Udaradihi, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, in that Tivrena Bhakti Yogena means pure devotional service without any jnana karma dhyanavritam. Without performance of varnashram and without the need for the help of jnana. And Adi Shabda refers to other yoga and other processes. So in that, what it means that person performing varnashram, it means along with the element of bhakti. By default, varnashram means with the element of bhakti only. In fact, Krishna Jagadakur in his Bhagavad Gita commentary mentions that in the whole gamut of Vedic scriptures, there is no process that is mentioned in the Vedic scriptures that is devoid of the element of bhakti. Because any process that is devoid of the element of bhakti cannot give result. And why should the Vedic scriptures speak about a process which will not deliver the result? So therefore, at the most, bhakti might be a secondary element, but no process can be devoid of the element of bhakti at all. Such a process does not exist within the realm of Vedic scriptures. That's what Krishna Jagadagar mentions. Varnashram without bhakti. Yeah, correct. Yeah, correct. Yeah. Specific and general. Whatever one may desire to achieve by performance of varnashram, one will not get. If one desires to achieve, the natural result is if one wants to progress further, by performing varnashram in a detached way, one wants to purify one's heart so that he can come to the stage of jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga. Even if that is one's desire, but still his detached performance of his prescribed duties, if that is devoid of the element of bhakti, his heart will not get purified, which is the desired result. He wants to purify his heart by detached performance of prescribed duties, but the purification of heart will not happen if that practice is devoid of the element of bhakti. Or if he has a specific desire of going to swarga by perfectly performing his prescribed duties, then he will not achieve that result also if that practice is bereft of the element of bhakti. Even if he wants to achieve something within this material realm, he may achieve that object, but that happiness which he is desiring to achieve from it, he will not attain. Huh? Lower species, there is no karma, no? They are just experiencing their karma. They are not performing any karma. In his in the episode that is described in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in that episode he does not get any darshan of the Supreme Lord, from as far as I can remember. But it must be some other episode, maybe somewhere in future he would have achieved perfection. Once a year he enjoys that. He directly as he prays to the Vidyadharas or the Gandharvas. He speaks. Urvashi recommends them, if you want my association, you worship the Gandharvas, she says. Here in the previous chapter the name of Pururava was mentioned, but my guess is it must be at a later stage of his life where he had progressed to the level of pure devotional service. That's my understanding. One last question we'll take and then we'll move on. Certainly people who were following some path which was bereft of bhakti, like Charvak and others. But as a system, whether it existed or not, maybe if such people only would have propagated such systems. But otherwise, you know, the true Vedic system, you know, Varnashram, it had bhakti as very much as an integral part. We'll move on and we'll take further questions after we end. At least we'll complete this chapter. Okay. I should have completed 10th chapter and then 3.6 and then the whole canto summary by this class, but we are still stuck up in the 9th chapter. So if you please allow, we'll move on for some time, and any questions maybe offline we will take. We'll just see a few more, just 2-3 more examples, and we'll move on. Another verse from the 11th canto, Uddhava Gita. Krishna tells Uddhava, Yat karma bir yat tapasa jnana vairagya tascheyat yogena dana dharmena shreyo bir itare rapi sarvam madbhakti yogena madbhakto labate anjasa swarga apavarga maddama katanchit yadivanchati. So he says that everything that can be achieved by fruitive activities, penance, knowledge, detachment, etc., everything can be achieved by my devotee through loving service unto me. Okay. So this is what the verse says. So what can you understand from this? Fulfills Anvaya criteria. Hey, you can leave that line. But another thing that it says is can be achieved only by bhakti. Which means in the absence of the others also he will get the result. Which means all this karma, tapasya, etc., they fail the Vyatireka criteria, isn't it? Even in their absence, the result is there, which means they fail Vyatireka criteria. So bhakti fulfills anvaya criteria and karma, jnana, vairagya, etc. they fail vyatireka criteria. Okay, is it clear? Then another verse from a book called Moksha Dharma. Yavai sadhana sampatti purushartha chatushtaye taya vina tadapnoti naro narayanashraya. A wealth of sadhana brings about the four human goals. Dharmartha, kama, moksha. Without that, without performing a wealth of other sadhana, however, a man who surrenders to the Lord attains all of that. Surrender to the Lord is bhakti. He attains all of that. So what does this prove? Presence of bhakti is giving result. So bhakti fulfills anvaya criteria. Okay? And without all these other sadhana, he is attaining the result, which means all the other sadhanas fail vyatireka criteria. Like that. So basically what the acharyas are trying to explain by quoting all these various verses is that only bhakti fulfills the criteria of anvaya and vyatireka, because that bhakti is the active principle in producing result of any sadhana. Any sadhana must have the element of bhakti. Okay. But one may say that if bhakti is the active ingredient in all sadhana, then just by performing bhakti, everyone should be able to get the same result. Yes, possible. Then why so many different sadhanas are recommended? Why not just bhakti? Everyone should be recommended only bhakti. But the fact is, people will not have faith. If no qualification is there, people cannot have faith in that. So therefore, just to satisfy them, all these other ashtanga, jnana, karma, and all these are there. But that's just to give them some mental satisfaction that they are actually doing something and achieving something. If you tell them that just by practice of bhakti they can achieve it, they cannot invest their faith in that. For that sole reason, just to satisfy them, you know, all these other practices are there as karma, ashtanga, jnana, etc. Like that. Okay? So then, like that, there are so many examples. I mean, I have chosen only a part of what Vaishnava Thakur and Prabhupada have given. They have given much more proofs, okay, for this, but we will stop here. And then the next criteria we saw was anvaya vyatirekabhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. This process can be practiced at all times by everyone, which means there is no material disqualification to practice this process. Okay, so this is a quote that is given, but the source is unknown. Na desha niyamas tatra na kala nirnayas tata na uchishtadav nishedo asti shri harer namni lubdake. In chanting the name of the Lord, there are no restrictions concerning place or time or restrictions on performance because of impurity. Okay, so this indicates that there is no material disqualification. In fact, it is mentioned that all the other processes, to start with, they need prior requirement of faith also. But bhakti is the only process which can be performed even without prior requirement of faith. Okay? But one may say, but we heard that the qualification for bhakti is shraddha. Only when shraddha is there, then one is said to be qualified for bhakti. Now you are telling that to perform bhakti, shraddha is not needed. The explanation is, if one performs the limbs of bhakti without shraddha, that performance has the capacity to generate shraddha. But if one performs the limbs of varnashram or jnana or yoga without shraddha, it has no capacity to generate shraddha. That's the point. Okay, so if one eats prasadam, which is an act of devotion, so without faith, not knowing that it is prasadam, not having any faith in prasadam, but if he likes it and if he appreciates it, he gains agyata sukriti, which when accumulated results in shraddha. But if one performs any activity of varnashram or a jnana or ashtanga yoga without faith, all that it gives is no result. By continuous performance without faith, faith will not generate. But bhakti is such a process that when any of its limb, when performed without devotion, has the capacity to generate that faith. That's why it is mentioned that yatsyat sarvatra sarvada, everyone can perform. You have some question? And he gets what? Oh, like that. See, without any faith, one can perform pranayama and may get cured of his some bodily ailments. But without faith, he does not feel that, without knowing that the purpose of pranayama is to ultimately realize the Supreme Lord in his feature as Paramatma, without knowing that if he by chance performs pranayama, he will not automatically move forward in, So his bodily ailment may get cured, but that does not mean that he will progress in that path further. Okay. The purpose of pranayama is not to cure anyone's bodily ailment. Like that. Yeah. Can you give it? One may say that one may take a medicine without even knowing that the, like for example, children are fed medicine. They do not know that they are taking medicine. It's kept inside a chocolate or something and they take it like that. We are not talking about that. We are talking about some process which prescribed Vedic process which you have to perform. Any Vedic process must have the element of faith. Only when the element of faith is there, it will yield results. As Krishna says, Ashraddaya hutam dattam tapastaptam kritam chayat asad iti uchyate partha nachatat pretyano iha. Any process performed without faith in it will not generate any result. It is true with bhakti also. The result of bhakti one will not get, but one will get sukriti unknowingly, agyata sukriti. And when it matures into faith, then after that, every single holy name that he performs, that he chants, he will progress further in bhakti. Till then, how much ever holy name he may unknowingly chant, how much ever prasadam he may unknowingly eat, that will only add to the sukriti. But only when it reaches the point where he gets shraddha in the process, after that whatever he performs, he will progress in that bhakti. But the point that here we are trying to discuss is that even activities of bhakti when performed without faith have the capacity to generate faith, but the other Vedic processes when performed without faith have no capacity to generate that faith. They have, one should have prior faith to perform those processes. That's the point we are trying to discuss. Okay. So that's about yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. Another verse, tasmat sarvatmana rajan harihi sarvatra sarvada shrutavya kirtitavyascha smartavyo bhagavan pranam. This is another verse is seen. The word sarvatra and sarvada come in this verse. Another proof. Kirata honandra pulinda pulkasha abira shumba yavanaha kasadaya yenye cha papa yadapashraya shre shudyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namah. However fallen a person may be, such a person is not disqualified from performing bhakti. So material disqualification is not a disqualification. Another point is another verse from Narasimha Puran. Yata yata harer nama kirtayanti cha naraka tata tata harau bhaktim udvahanto divam yayuhu. So this is from Narasimha Puran, which says, when those in hell chant the name of the Lord, they develop bhakti to the Lord and go to the spiritual world. So it is possible to go to the spiritual world from hell if one practices bhakti in hell, which means it is possible to practice bhakti in hell. What to speak of hell, it is possible to practice bhakti even in Brahma Jyoti. Okay, at least smaranam one can do. In fact, in one of the acharyas comment in that verse, narayana para sarve nakutaschana vibhyati swarga apavarga narakeshu apituliyartha darshina. In that he says apavarga, commenting on that, he says that these devotees want to go and preach in Brahma Jyoti also. Okay, like that. So at least some limb, if bhakti, if it was not possible to perform bhakti in Brahma Jyoti, then you cannot technically say that bhakti is sarvatra sarvada. Everyone can perform under all circumstances at every place. So actually it is possible to perform bhakti in Brahma Jyoti also. May not be all limbs of bhakti, but to say that bhakti itself cannot be performed in Brahma Jyoti is incorrect. It is possible. At least smaranam one can do, like that. Okay. So that's how when Brahmaji heard this verse, he could immediately understand that the Lord was speaking about bhakti. But of course, we needed so many quotations from the acharyas to come to this conclusion. But the point is, the Lord is mentioning to Brahmaji that if you perform bhakti, if you take sincere shelter of this process of bhakti, then you will never be overcome by the influence of modes of passion and ignorance, like that. So now one last verse that the Lord is going to speak before he leaves. How to apply these teachings? He says, etan matam samatishta paramena samadina bhavan kalpa vikalpeshu na vimukhyati karhichit. Etat matam samatishta. Samatishta means follow my instructions in detail, which means follow every single aspect of it. Paramena samadhina, with extreme concentration you should follow. If you do it, bhavan na vimuyati karhichit. So two things he is mentioning, that attention to details and concentration, which means intensity of application. Both are needed. If both are there, then he says you will never be bewildered at any time. So one should not say that I am also practicing bhakti, but every day I get bewildered seeing so many things. So he says here, he indicates that paramena samadhina, with extreme concentration and with attention to details, when you practice these instructions of mine, then you will not be bewildered at any time. Either today or tomorrow or throughout your life, at no point will you will get bewildered. So Srila Prabhupada writes, this is the conclusion of the Chatushloki. How to understand the deep meaning of these four verses, Prabhupada writes. Prabhupada says, don't get deviated by the false interpretations. just accept my instructions completely. So Prabhupada is explaining what is the meaning of samatishta. Samatishta means samyak atishta. Atishta means to follow. Samatishta means completely follow. Don't leave out any details. Prabhupada is elaborating on this point. Prabhupada is mentioning, what does it mean? It means, the Lord says, don't get deviated by the false interpretations. Just accept my instructions completely. Similarly, those who follow in the footsteps of Brahma should strictly accept only the parampara explanation. Okay, parampara explanation. One should not go outside the parampara searching for any explanations. Without service, one cannot understand this knowledge simply by speculation. One must have a service attitude. That's another thing. Prabhupada commenting on this word. Samatishta. To perfectly follow means to follow and serve. Without service, one cannot understand this knowledge by speculation. When properly understood from a spiritual master, naturally should lead to detachment. What is the proof that one is properly learning this subject matter? Prabhupada says that virakti. Bhakti pareshanubhavo viraktir. This stage is called Brahmabhuta stage or Atmarama stage. This stage is indicated by evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate, as mentioned in the first canto, second chapter. From this stage one can understand the mystery of God. Actually, which stage is described by that verse? Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. The stage of bhava. So at the stage of bhava, one starts getting the realization of the Supreme Lord. So here he says, from this stage one can understand the mystery of God. Because Brahma qualified himself for such an oral reception, the Lord spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that. Okay, so then Shukadeva Goswami continues. Sampradishyevam ajano jananam parameshtinam pashyatastasya tadrupam atmano nyarunadharihi. The Lord, who is ajana, who is beyond this material world, evam sampradishya, having thus instructed Brahma, tad atmano rupam nyarunad, he made his form disappear, which means he left from that place. Pashyatah, as Brahma was watching, the Lord left that place after instructing him on the Chatushloki. Antarhitendriyartaya haraye vihitanjalihi sarvabhutamayo vishvam sasarjedam sapurvavad. Vihitanjali, then Brahma folded his hands in respect, haraye, unto the Supreme Lord. Indriya artaya, who is this Lord? This Lord is that personality whose qualities are the objects of devotees' senses. Antarhita, and who had disappeared. So Brahmaji folded his hands to offer his obeisances. Idam Vishwam Sasarja Purvavat. And then subsequently he created this universe as he had done in the previous kalpa. Prajapatir dharmapatir ekada niyaman yaman badram prajanam anvichan atishtat swartha kamyaya. In order to put this conversation between Narada Muni and Brahma and the Supreme Lord in the proper chronological perspective, he is going to speak the next few verses. He says, after the Lord left, on one particular day, ekada, one particular day, Prajapatir Dharmapatir, Brahmaji, who was the Lord of Dharma, Prajanam Badram Anvichan, desiring benefits for his progeny, Niyaman Yaman Atishtan, he followed all the rules and regulations that he was supposed to follow, Swartha Kamyaya, order to fulfill his desire. What was his desire? Prajanam Badram. He was desiring benefit for the progeny. So, with a desire to fulfill that desire, he was performing all the necessary activities. At that point of time, Tam Naradah Priyatamo Rikta Danam Anuvratah Shushrushamana Shilena Prashrayena Damenacha Mayam Vidvisham Vishnor Mayeshasya Mahamunihi Mahabhagavato Rajan Pitaram Paryatoshayat. At that point of time, Narada Tam Priyatamam Rikta Danam. Rikta means wealth. Rikta Danam means heir to that wealth. So who is the heir to a person's wealth? His son. So Rikta Danam means son. Priyatamam Rikta Danam. Amongst all the sons of Brahma, Narada Muni was the dearmost son. Why? Anuvratah. Because he was very much devoted to his father. Shushrushamanah. And he was very much obedient to his father. Okay. For these reasons, he was very dear to his father. But that Narada Muni approached Brahma on that particular day. Okay. Vishnoho Mayam Vidvishan. And with a desire to understand the Maya of Vishnu. Which means, how the activities of the Lord's Maya, how do they act? Which means basically he wanted to know about creation of this material world. Pitaram Paryatoshet, with that desire, with the desire to know about the Lord's Maya and the activities of that Maya, he first pleased his father. How? Shilena, Prashrayena, Damena. With proper conduct, proper respect and proper sense control. Okay. So this is the time which was described in the 5th chapter when Narada Muni approaches Brahma. So this conversation happens after the conversation between the Lord and Brahmaji has happened. So 2.567, that conversation happens after the conversation described in 2.9. Just Shukadeva Goswami is giving a chronological overview of this, that's all. Tushtam Nishamya Pitaram Lokanam Prapitamaham Devariship Paripapracha Bhavan Yanmanu Pruchati. Tushtam Nishamya, seeing that his father has now been pleased, he is in a happy mood. Devarishihi Narada Muni Paripapracha, he started asking questions. Yadrupam, Yadadishtanam, Yadasrishtam, like that he started asking those questions. Bhavan Yad Mam Anuprachati, just the way, with the same eagerness with which you are asking me questions, similarly with that same eagerness, Narada Muni also asked his father. Tasma Yadam Bhagavatam Puranam Dashalakshanam Proktam Bhagavata Praha Prita Putraya Bhutakrit. Brahmaji, who was very much affectionate to Narada Muni, then in reciprocation spoke Idam Bhagavatam Puranam, this Bhagavat Puran, Dasha Lakshanam, which was endowed with 10 characteristics. This verse is the connection to the next chapter, the 10 characteristics of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavata Proktam, which was spoken by the Lord in 4 verses. In 4 verses he spoke, and that Bhagavatam is endowed with 10 characteristics. Okay, of course. Narada Praha Munaye Sarasvatyastate Nripa Dhyayate Brahma Paramam Vyasayamita Tejase. Narada Muni then spoke this same Bhagavatam to Vyasadev. Vyasaya Amita Tejase. That powerful Vyasadev, Dhyayate Brahma Paramam, who was meditating on Brahman, on the Supreme Brahman, Supreme Vidya's Tate, on the banks of Saraswati River. That's where he meets. This is 1.6 or 1.5. 1.456, na? Then, Yadudaham Tvaya Prishto Vairajat Purushadidam Yatasi Tad Upakyaste Prashnan Anyamscha Kritsnashah. Aham Upakyaste. Now I will explain. Yat Tvaya Prishto, whatever you asked me. You had asked many questions. Some of the questions I have answered in this chapter. But few more questions remain unanswered. I am going to answer those questions. Among so many questions, you also asked about further details about the manifestation of the Virat Purusha. And you asked other questions also. Now I am going to answer those questions. Like that he concludes this chapter. So in the 10th chapter, he will start further discussing about the Dashalakshanam. 10 topics, and further he will describe about, he will give further details about the Virat Purusha also. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.